Cale Clark here. Thanks for listening to my podcast. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. Mention offer code Relevant Radio and get a free phone. Don't delay. CharityMobile.com. That's CharityMobile.com.
Fascinating facts, candid conversations, and some levity to lighten your day. This is the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, this is Cale Clark. Welcome to the program. We've got our theme music back. Always good to hear it. Always good to be talking to you. You can call in right now, 888-914-9149. Once again, that toll-free studio line to call and talk to me is 888-914-9149. You can also email the program, Cale, C-A-L-E, at relevantradio.com. And you can follow me on Twitter. Twitter still exists. Despite rumors of its demise, it's still there for now. And you can follow me at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. And the show account is at Cale Clark Show. Well, just before we get into our main topic for today, today is November the 11th. It's Veterans Day. We're going to be doing our salute to service, as we always do on the Cale Clark Show on Veterans Day and on Memorial Day as well in May. We so appreciate our veterans. But first, I want to tell you that we have reached our goal. In case you're wondering, our pledge drive, which is on the Join the Family theme this time, it's our last pledge drive of the year. Well, so many of you have done just that, and you have pushed us over our goal. We have now reached our goal and gone beyond it. We've reached beyond the $3 million mark. We had a gift of $100,000, which came in last hour during the Drew Mariani Show, which became $200,000 because of our matching funds that are out there. Of course, it's a partnership challenge day. And even though the pledge drive is officially over, I just want to thank everybody who contributed and let you know that you can still contribute yourself. If you didn't get a chance to, for whatever reason, and you would like to show your support for Relevant Radio and join the family and help keep us on the airwaves, please go ahead and use that toll-free line to call to make your pledge. And this is a different phone number from the studio line, so let me give that out again right now. 877-291-0123. Once again, 877-291-0123. And you can also, of course, go to relevantradio.com or to the app, and you can make your pledge there. See all the wonderful pledge drive premiums that we have for you. So once again, our listeners always come through. You've done it again. We can't thank you enough. And God bless you for your support. Hey, it's tax season as well. We're all getting ready to make our year-end contributions so that we can claim them on our taxes. You can still do that, of course, this weekend too. All throughout the weekend, the pledge drive will still be ongoing. And once again, thank you so much for helping us to meet our target. Well, again, as I said, on November the 11th, it is Veterans Day. In Canada, it's called Remembrance Day, and also in Britain as well. And it's a day that we want to thank all of our veterans, those who have died in the service, those who have given their lives for freedom. We also want to thank those who are still with us and make sure that we do that while we have the opportunity. And if there's someone that you'd like to thank today, why don't you call in? 888-914-9149. We've got an incredible show planned for you today. You're going to hear from a wonderful guy who's a military chaplain, maybe somebody that you've never heard of. He's got a famous name for another reason. We'll get into that a little bit later. And also to share with you the amazing story of the Quaker. The Quaker, yeah, the pacifist Quaker who founded the United States Marine Corps. They just celebrated their anniversary yesterday on November the 10th. But right now, I'm joined by a lieutenant colonel in the Canadian Forces, in the Canadian Armed Forces. He's also somebody I know pretty well, my brother-in-law, Joe Nonato. Joe, welcome to the program. How are you?
Cale, can you hear me?
I sure can. You're on the air. There you are.
Okay, right on. Good, good. Just wanted to make sure everything's working out.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, welcome to the show, and thank you for your service. And why don't you tell our audience a little bit about how you got involved with the military?
I got involved in the military. Well, I mean, as you know, well, maybe the listeners don't know, your wife there, my sister, is a Filipino descent. And, in the Philippines, they tend to have, mandatory military service, or at least they used to. And so the bedtime stories that my dad would tell me and my uncles would say, my cousins, or like they're all about, you know, military service and things like that. So I kind of grew up with this and thinking, you know, I think I can do the same thing. Growing up in Canada, I as part of the Filipino family, I didn't even know Canada had an armed forces until much later on. And when I realized, okay, well, we're part of this country, Canada, and therefore, you know, God gave us a country that we must love. And so when it came time for to join an armed forces, I thought, okay, well, I'll join the Canadian Armed Forces to contribute back and give back to the country that's given so much to me. So that's how I sort of got into it. But there was always that question, you know, that sort of lingered in my mind. Obviously, you know, as a young child there, Fifth Commandment, and can we do this? And that kind of. So all that was really put to rest when I had the opportunity to be present when blessed the now blessed Alvaro Del Portillo, who is the successor to St. Jose Maria, had come to visit Toronto. And there was a get-together of young people, and I remember and I was sitting at his feet, and I had a question prepared, and anyways, I'd asked if I could say the question. And I said it, right? And there was a translation going on at the same time, and I said to him, "No, Father, is it possible for somebody to be a soldier and to be a saint?" And he gave me, you know, I can remember how deeply he looked into my eyes. It was as if nobody else was in the room. And I could see there was a very holy man who was looking right at me. And he said, "My son." And then he started off and he said, "Of course you could, right?" And it's all about us offering up our work, and we have to be noble in what we're doing, and we have to be servants to our Lord through serving others. And this is one of the many ways that you can do this. And he really told me about the message that St. Jose Maria was talking about, right? Sanctifying your daily work, as long as it's noble in front of God. And then he cited many people, one who's a feast day, say, St. Martin of Tours, you know, St. George, St. Joan of Arc, you know, the Theban Legion, and so on and so forth. Like all these different saints who are saints, who became saints through their profession of soldiering. And that sort of convinced me. And so he said, you know, go off and make it your profession. So that's what I did. And I signed up for the military a few years later, and here you go.
That's a great thing to bring up. My guest is Lieutenant Colonel Joe Nonato. He's my brother-in-law. He's also a member of the Canadian Armed Forces, and that's a great thing to bring up, Joe, because a lot of people do think, I don't know if as a Catholic I should really think about serving in the military. Maybe some are drawn to it, but they might be worried about that commandment. And I always like to say the commandment, "Thou shalt not kill." It's probably better translated, "Thou shalt not murder," because unfortunately, at some point in the line of duty, and this is also true of our police forces as well, unfortunately, the taking of human life may be necessary in certain circumstances, and certainly warfare is one of those times when, although tragic, it's part of the deal. And so I thought it was interesting that you asked Blessed Alvaro Del Portillo that question, whether you could be a soldier and a saint as well. And before we get into what you've done specifically in your military service and where it's taken you around the world, Joe, I want to ask you about, and this is something that we've talked about in the past, the psyche of the soldier. I remember at one point you shared with me a book. It was called The Faith of the American Soldier. And I feel like it's something that all who serve in the military, they have to be able to know that their cause is just to be able to do what they do, right?
Yes, very much so. I think they have to. And then I think that's one of the functions of chaplains there. And because obviously, for the young soldiers, when you're off and you're doing your duties and you're in a place where there's a lot of confusion, you need to know that what you're doing is actually just, and to make sure that what you're doing is just. So there has to be that grounding, and I thought that's the beautiful function of our chaplains, and at the same time, especially for our Catholic chaplains, to bring our Blessed Lord to us. In places that are obviously soldiers are sent because nobody else is going to go there. You can't look it up on TripAdvisor or whatever, like this, and say you're going to book out Expedia.ca or something like this and find a trip to go there or whatnot, right? It's not a tourist destination. You're getting sent there because it's a dangerous place. You're getting sent there because it's chaotic. I remember in one of the, in battle update briefs in the morning or whatever, and everything was going to junk, and we were getting sort of a briefing, and then the last word was usually to the chaplain. And the chaplain stood up and he said, "You know, if you ever wonder if there's any good in the world, you know, take a look around and listen to everything that we're doing here. And he said, this is proof positive that there is, you know, the hand of God in this. And, and God works through people. Yeah. And it was kind of an interesting thing for the chaplain to say in an operations center. But, you know, a whole lot of secular talk and military speak is happening. But he was right. You know, there is a the reason why soldiers are going places because we're trying to bring the goodness that's there. And it goes to that chivalry of that many people who sign up for the military have. They understand that there has to be somebody that stands, you know, between the breach of bad and good, or good and evil, and they're willing to do so. And so, like, on a day like Remembrance Day, people say, well, thank you for your service. And, you know, sometimes it gives pause to, what on earth do they mean? I think that with a bit of reflection there, you know, it's a good thing to say, because, you know, people who are willing to put their lives in a vocation like this, there's a lot of sacrifice to it. And I'm not trying to put any props to myself or anything like that, but I look at my brothers and sisters in arms, and they sacrifice a lot. Time away from their family, a lot of sacrifice in personal time. Bishop Fulton Sheen, in his book, The Wartime Prayer Book, said that soldiering is a vocation that's only second to a priest because of the amount
wow.
of, I suppose because of the amount of sacrifice, personal sacrifice that you have to put into this, right? And if you could just sanctify that, you know, and saying, well, you're a priest carries the burdens of others, but then so does a soldier if they're doing it for the right reasons, right?
Mm.
So, there's a lot of personal sacrifice there, but what they're really doing is they're willing to stand in the breach between good and evil. You know, Jordan Peterson, and if you listen to the podcast for the Heights School, Alvaro De Vicente, who's the director there, was talking about how good men have to be dangerous in the way that they have to be capable, but yet the same have to be harness themselves as good, that they have to be virtuous people. And you'll take a look at the, you know, especially yesterday was, as you mentioned, the anniversary of the United States Marine Corps. And that's one of the things that the Marines have always tried to uphold. They don't lose their humanity when they're on operations. And that's General Mattis had said this, it reminded his Marines. And it's something that you hear all the time, right? Mm. Like with good soldiering and good leaders. Don't lose your humanity, because there is an answer to this, right? And there's someone who you're going to answer to at the end of your life. And we are all here trying to serve God. And what's the function of a soldier? Well, to try to bring goodness wherever he is. And that, and by the way, it doesn't only matter. You know, it doesn't only count for people who have a military ID card sitting in their wallet, right? I mean, all of us are soldiers of Christ, and we have to bring God to every sphere that we're in, whether you're in the business world or teaching or wherever you're at. It just so happens that, well, God also needs men of God, soldiers of God, women of God, you know, in the military as well, right? So,
absolutely. That's a noble profession. That's really well put, Joe. My guest is Lieutenant Colonel Joseph Nonato from the Canadian Armed Forces. He's also my brother-in-law. And your life, your exploits have always inspired us and the family, Joe. And just for our listeners, take us through where you have served over the years all over the world.
Well, I've served in Afghanistan, in South Sudan, and when South Sudan became a country, so I was there about a year after that, and in Kuwait as well. So, three different locations overseas, all very good tours, and gave me a different perspective on life, and got to see how people lived in different parts of the world, and then also had the privilege, the severe privilege of working with our allies, you know. I just got back from the United Kingdom after having seen some friends that I'd, who I now call brothers, what I worked over there in Afghanistan with, and also with Americans, right? Like, you know, definitely with the Americans, it was so beautiful to see that whenever a Canadian picked up the phone and said, hey, we need help, and they're like, who are you? I'm a Canadian. And they'll go, right on, we're going to support you because we're brothers in arms, right? And especially because they're neighbors, it was a beautiful thing. And so, anyways, my American veteran friends, as well as UK or British friends, I always keep in contact with those guys as well.
Yeah, that's incredible. And you're also on a first name basis with the new King Charles. I think people should know this, right?
I don't know his first name basis, but I had served in a regiment where he was a colonel in chief. So, yeah.
and you got to meet him in London, and you actually had a chance to kind of evangelize him in a certain sense.
Well, I don't know if evangelize him, but, you know, I did have a chance to have coffee with him for about 30 minutes, because it's the right of every commanding officer of his regiment there to report the regiment. So I had the privilege of doing that. And while I was there, I thought, well, what kind of a personal gift should I give? So the regiment had sent a gift, and we had traveled up to the Arctic at one point, and I was given a polar bear from some of our cadets in the northern, you know, in Arctic Bay and whatever. They gave me an ice carving of a soapstone carving of a polar bear.
Okay, not a natural polar bear. Okay, that's good.
Not natural polar bear.
You cleared that up.
But then at the end of it, it was like, okay, well, here's the gift from the regiment. And then what's the gift that was going to come from me? So I was like, well, what does he probably not have that I have that I'd like to give to him? So, you know, I pulled out a copy of San Jose Maria's The Way. I wrote an inscription there, and I gave it to him at the end. So hopefully he opens it up every so often.
Yeah, it's just a classic spiritual writing, and I hope he reads it The Way by St. Jose Maria Escrivá. And everybody listening should read that as well. You're listening to the K.O. Clark Show on Relevant Radio, 888-914-9149 is the line to call. I'm talking with my brother-in-law, Joseph Nonato, Lieutenant Colonel in the Canadian Armed Forces. Now, of course, in Canada, we say Lieutenant Colonel, but I kind of changed it to the American pronunciation. I hope that's okay, Joe. But anyways, one of the things that you mentioned is that soldiers have this heart of service, and I know this is one of the things that you talk about a lot. You will often you're asked to give a lot of talks on servant leadership, and when you're asked to do that, what goes through your mind, and what do you want to communicate to your audience?
Well, I mean, if I'm talking about it on a secular sense, I mean, sure, you kind of mask it, but usually in the back of my mind, I'm always thinking about Christ, you know, or even the famous line there from Life is Beautiful, that movie. You know, I can't remember who said it, but I think it was like the waiter, and he was saying to the protagonist in the story, well, don't forget, you know, the first servant is God, right? He created the world, and he was trying to sort of like give that message, and that kind of resonates with me, especially in military service. The first servant of us all was God. And also this whole idea of like serving others. I mean, it's a noble thing. I mean, if God was the first servant, then therefore that's how he wants us to lead, right? Mm-hmm. And putting that whole context into creation and the theology of creation and the very fact that God is a family, and what we're supposed to do in a family is we're supposed to serve one another. And especially, you know, with the role of a father is basically to serve. So I kind of think about this, you know, in the Holy Trinity, think about creation, and especially our Lord, you know, who came down to earth to save us, right, for our salvation. He's our Redeemer, but in effect, he's serving us. So it was one of the things that, you know, sort of rattled in my head, and the idea that, okay, well, practically put, you see that in the military, we always do this, right? The leader is the first one to get up, and he's the last one to go to bed. He's the one who's always checking on his people. He knows his people by name, and just like the Lord talks about how he knows the sheep by name, right? He knows not, and when he's named by name, it's also knowing their personality, who the person is, what their personalities are, their struggles, their happinesses, their, you know, their defeats, their, you know, what they have to improve upon. And this is what a leader does, right? He tracks all of his the people who are under his charge. And he leads them to what some people will call salvation, I suppose, if you really want to talk about that from that particular context. But he leads them to something better, right? And so, in effect, you're kind of doing an apostolate by just serving. Hmm. And that's kind of like what sort of rattles in my head. St. Jose Maria said something like, you know, if in Spanish, para servir, servir. If you want to be useful, serve. It's like a play on words in Spanish.
Yeah,
if you want to be useful, serve. And that's true, right? If you want to, and I find that a lot of people will respect that as well. If you are there to serve in the military, one of the other things that we also do is that not only does the leader get up first and then go to bed last, so if he's obviously checking up on his soldiers and those who are under his charge to make sure that they're taken care of first, is that one of the other practices is that the leaders always eat last. And I know that in the Canadian Army, I think it's the same way. I'm pretty sure it is, like in the American forces as well, is that whoever on earth is the leader eats last. And the whole practice of that is that, well, you as the leader, just because you're at the top, you have the rank. The higher you go means the more responsibility you have of caring for those who are in your charge. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so just because you're the top-ranked guy doesn't mean you run to the meal line first and get the best ticket. No, you usually get whatever's left over, just like a good father would, right? And you reflect upon that too, what our Lord did for us and obviously what God did for us in creating us and everything, right? So this all can be connected to any kind of service, right? But then it also becomes a good, way of doing apostolate for other people, saying, okay, well, this is charity. This is charity in taking care of others. And people notice it. If you're the one who's standing off to the side and you're the one who set it all up and you're the guy who's in charge, standing off to the side and saying, here, go ahead, you're eating first. And then never invariably say, no, here's a plate. No, I'm the person who organizes. Yeah. I'm in charge. You go and eat first. Right. And sometimes even get there and serve them. So a lot of times, even in the military, there's a meal line. We'll have all of the hay boxes or the food boxes open. And a guy who's like, he'll be serving like the rations there to the troops. And then whatever's left over, that's what they're going to eat. And as you know, with the hay boxes, anybody who's in the military knows that all the heat comes out of it. And so whatever comes out of last is going to be cold.
It's kind of cold, yeah.
Slimy. It's going to be like not exactly appealing. But that would mean that the lowest ranked soldier got the best meal. And isn't that a wonderful thing, right?
I mean, it is.
Think about like what a father's supposed to do for his children, right? So, the leadership. I think it's a,
It's something that can be it can be something that's applied across families, corporations, any kind of group. I think that's just such an incredible concept. You're listening to the K.O. Clark Show on Relevant Radio. It's our salute to service here on Veterans Day. And I got a message from our crack researcher, Patrick Alog, here. And apparently, yes, officers eat last. That is a phrase used by the U.S. Marines as well. And senior leaders eat last whenever they have the meal together. That's very common, as you said, Joe, all across the military. My guest is Lieutenant Colonel Joseph Nonato from the Canadian Armed Forces. And I love this idea of servant leadership because it's very, very much reminds me of the Pope and how really his favorite title, every Pope, their favorite title is Servus Servorum Dei, servant of the servants of God. It's like that, even though the church is a hierarchy too, just like the military is a hierarchy, and of course we are the church militant on earth, that it's almost like an inverted pyramid. The higher you ascend, if you will, it's really descending into greatness. There's more. It's like a triangle flipped on its head, an inverted pyramid. There's just more people to serve, and you're kind of at the bottom washing feet. And I just love that because it is really an image of Christ, isn't it, Joe?
Yeah, absolutely is. And especially, you get to really live that whole idea of like being with Christ, especially when you are in military service. You're getting dirty, you're walking around, you're tired, you're hungry, and all that kind of thing. Understanding what the cross is like, it gets to be pretty real, right? I mean, I don't know. You talk to most guys who have ever served in the Army, especially, in combat arms, and they kind of know what starvation is because at some point in your training, you're going to be told, well, you're not eating for the next whatever, X number of hours, or you're not drinking water. I remember getting that order being sent down, right? You're not drinking water. You're not drinking from your canteens, and you know, there's going to be some amount of trouble if you crack open your canteen and eat. And it was, I don't know, like close to 40 degrees heat out there.
Wow.
And we were marching and all that kind of thing. And we all thought the guy was crazy. Like, somebody's going to thunder in and get seriously hurt here if you don't allow us to drink water. But, the order was there and it was a teach us hardship. And I suppose, just the very strain of military training for many people, you just extend that. It should become very easy for to understand what the sufferings of Christ are, and then understanding that you're doing that out of service for other people, right? So,
that's beautiful.
Selflessness that naturally comes along, right, with the military service.
Yeah, that's a beautiful example. And one last question too. Obviously, not all soldiers are online with God, especially when they first get started. And I know one of the things that you've talked to me about is, especially when you're over in Afghanistan, that you had a lot of time to talk with your fellow soldiers, and you guys talked about everything under the sun. Can you tell me a little bit about guys who are searching and maybe some of the stuff that you've seen along those lines?
Yeah, I don't know. Like sometimes we'd have those conversations where all of a sudden things would stop. Like we were doing rather normal things in the operation center or where, just whatever, in the bays and stuff like this, and you're cleaning something or whatever, and all of a sudden somebody will stop. And look, Most, I don't know, I, I know that it's like this in the Canadian Army, and I know for sure it's like this in the American Army as well. You know, the soldiers tend to be really intellectual, right?
Mm.
Or at least rather philosophical, and many of the soldiers that I know are quite well-read. So the talk isn't usually of, at least in my experience anyways, of a rather, sure, it does get to the superficial things, but many times they can talk from very various ends of the spectrum. But when they do get philosophical, it very quickly, or at least over there, I found, it went from the philosophical to the theological rather quickly.
Interesting.
Especially because of the surroundings and what was going on, right? And the current events, I suppose. The number of ramp ceremonies you're going to, or the very fact that the death is around you, and it's like something that you're aware of, right?
Yeah.
There's nobody going to stop and say, well, you know, I've had the experience where somebody says, well, wait a second, how do we know that God exists? And then all of a sudden you're starting to talk about that in a place like right there in your operation center, or like somebody will say, well, how do we pray? You know, and or, you know, you'd be walking around and you see that there's a greater awareness of this. At least that was my experience, right? That there was that awareness of God, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. And sometimes it's just because of the pressure of the moment. But hopefully it sticks.
Absolutely. We've just got about 30 seconds left here, Joseph. And I want to thank you. I do want to personally thank you for your service. I know I say this a lot, but we're so proud of you and everything that you've done, and what a great example you are of that servant's heart, not only in your military service, but also in your family. We see it all the time whenever we're around you and your beautiful family. And I'm just so thankful that you're able to take the time to also come on the show and share a little bit about your spiritual journey with our listeners. So thank you for your service. We'll see you soon, Joe. That was Lieutenant Colonel in the Canadian Armed Forces, Joseph Nonato, also my brother-in-law. And we'll be right back after this on the Cale Clark Show with another very special guest. Hang tight. Hi, this is Cale Clark. Thanks for listening to my podcast. Check out Charity Mobile and prayerfully consider making them your wireless carrier. They're a pro-life phone company, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to Relevant Radio or another pro-life charity of your choice. For a limited time, new customers who mention offer code Relevant Radio get a free phone with free activation and free shipping. Don't delay. CharityMobile.com. That's CharityMobile.com. Hey, this is Cale Clark. Welcome back to the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. It is Veterans Day. It's our salute to service right here on the show. And we're so thankful for all of our veterans. 888-914-9149 is the toll-free studio line to call. Want to say also, by the way, once again, a word of thanks to all of you out there who have participated in our Join the Family Pledge Drive this week. It's our last one of the year. We have met our need. We have crossed the $3 million mark, and we're just $33 short of reaching the next milestone, $3.1 million, if you can believe that. And so if you didn't have a chance to give this week, you still can. All gifts are tax deductible, of course, and you can call that pledge drive number 877-291-0123, 877-291-0123, or go to relevantradio.com or the app, and you can check out all the pledge drive premiums, gifts that we'd like to give back to you as a token of our thanks for helping us to spread the good word, to bring Christ to the world through the media. That's what we do here every day on Relevant Radio. Well, my thanks once again to Lieutenant Colonel Joseph Nonato, my brother-in-law, who joined me earlier in the program and talked about what it means to be a servant leader, and something that he has learned and seen modeled before him in the military, and that he tries to share with his family and with other groups as well. He's often invited to speak on this. And yeah, you can be a soldier and a saint. That's a message that he got from one of the blesseds of the church who will be canonized, no doubt, in short order, Blessed Alvaro del Portillo. He told him that, yeah, you can be in the military and be a good Catholic, be a saint. And I want to share with you an interview that I did recently with Father Matt Foley, who served for many years as a military chaplain in the United States Armed Forces. I think you'll really enjoy this conversation. Check it out. I am joined by a very special guest on this Veterans Day, and he's a former military chaplain who did four tours of duty in Afghanistan. Father Matt Foley is my guest today on the Cale Clark Show. Welcome to the program, Father Matt. What a pleasure it is to have you. I want to thank you for your service and thank you for taking the time out today.
Well, thank you so much for having me on.
I want you to talk to me, Father Matt, about how you got involved serving as a military chaplain. At this point, you had already been a priest in the Chicago area, done some missionary work in Mexico. What made you want to make the move to jumping out of airplanes?
Well, you know, I had a great model. My uncle, Jerome, he was a army chaplain, did two tours in Vietnam. Both his brother, Paul, and his brother, Peter, who are twins, were in Vietnam, and he went with his brother. My brother, Michael, served in Desert Storm and retired as a colonel. We actually lived together when we were at Fort Bragg together. So I had some really good models of service to God and country.
When you joined the military, was that a huge adjustment for you physically? I mean, obviously, chaplains have to get involved in some of the PT as well and really experience what the other soldiers do.
You know, I loved to work out, so at age 45, it wasn't much of a stretch. I'd always stayed in shape. We call it spiritual fitness, you know, working out and praying at the same time. So I'd been playing rugby still when I was older and playing basketball, but running and lifting weights. So actually, it was wonderful. It's the one place that you actually are paid to work out. When you join the military, they actually have built-in, you know, pay time for being physically fit. So we're very blessed to have that.
Yeah, that is a great advantage. My guest is Father Matt Foley. You're listening to the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. It's our salute to service. You want to hear from Veterans Day, call in with your story, 888-914-9149. And let me ask you this. When you deployed, Father, to Afghanistan the first time, talk to me about what the typical day in the life of a chaplain looked like for you.
So my first deployment was with the 82nd Airborne Division. Okay. That was a 14-month deployment. It was back in 2008. At that time, we were surging, so we were really building out and building up in terms of numbers and taking over battle space. So I spent a lot of time doing travel. There would be times I'd be outside. Bagram was where my home was with the 82nd Division headquarters, but I would spend a lot of time going out and circulating the battlefield, going out to combat outposts and other outposts, bringing the Lord to them. Then on weekends, if I was home, I would do masses. If I was on Bagram, you always rise bright and early, and I would be able to do the opportunity. Always, every place I went, we had daily mass, whether it was for one soldier or as many as 10. And it was very fluid. A lot of times if I was on Bagram, I was at the hospital every day. Unfortunately, if we had killed in actions, I was at mortuary affairs, blessing the body of Catholic soldiers. So it was very, very much of a blessing. If there was spare time, which there was at times, we would have, of course, with daily mass, we'd also have an opportunity for Bible studies. We used Jeff Caven's Bible study a lot over
Great
there.
Great Adventure.
Back in 2000. Great Adventure. Plug that, but we used that a lot. It was wonderful because you have this really kind of captive audience. People are hungry for Jesus. And it was really a beautiful, beautiful experience to bring Jesus in the Eucharist and the Word and moments of study and getting reverts, people coming back.
Yeah, my brother-in-law served with the Canadian forces in Afghanistan. And one of the things that he told me, and you can probably testify to this as well, Father Matt, is that, you know, as soldiers, when they were together, no matter what their background was, no matter what their faith life was like back home, they would talk to each other about everything under the sun. And in some ways, maybe they're a little bit more open to talking about spiritual things than they would be in civilian life. Did you find that to be true?
Very much so. Well, because you're in a tribe, you are in a mission. And with that mission, you live and breathe. You have your battle buddies that you're accountable to. And so you're going to be intimately bound to each other to protect each other, but also to challenge each other. And life issues come up. I mean, you're in a situation where you're away from a lot of your creature comforts and obviously away from your family. So mortality is a reality that you have to deal with. So guys are going to be a lot more revealing and a lot more open to asking the deeper questions in life, and what is my faith? What is my life? Where am I going after this world? Because it's right there in your face. You have to deal
Absolutely.
With the question, are you going to live and die? And if you die, where are you going to end up?
Yeah, that is obviously at the forefront of their minds as they're serving. But at the same time, they have to maintain bravery in the face of that. And let me just ask a follow-up question about that. My guest on the Cale Clark Show today is Father Matt Foley, diocesan priest, but former military chaplain who did 4 tours of duty in Afghanistan. Talk to me a little bit about the faith of the American soldier. And what I mean by that is I once read a book by that title, and it was written, I think, by a Protestant chaplain. And one of the things that he said in the book was that if you're a soldier, you're kind of asked to do something that is totally counter to your training. If you're coming from a faith perspective, if you're a Christian, if you're a Catholic, you might be asked to kill someone in the line of duty. And so you kind of need to know that your cause is a righteous cause in order to be able to do that. Did you find yourself having to have those conversations with soldiers in the field?
Yeah, that's one of the most difficult things. I mean, one of the blessings of not being a combatant is I never had to wear a gun. I never had to carry a weapon. You know, I had all the battle armor, but I never had to worry about a returning fire. And there are places mm-hmm. that in circumstances, I did get in ticks and troops and contacts. I did see live fire, and I didn't have to return fire, and those around me did. That's a very difficult thing to do when you think about it. And I can tell you a story of
sure.
being a Catholic chaplain. I would be in communion with other chaplains, and they would have individuals that were soldiers. And I had one of my special forces individuals come off the line and was going home. And he unfortunately had to take the life of somebody. And it's very difficult. You know, it looks really easy on TV and video games, but it's very different when you take somebody's life. And he had to do that. It was either kill or be killed. He had to protect those around you. And, you know, he was struggling as I talked with him, and more than talked with him, listened to him. He struggled with who is he going home, and how can he go home? How can he look at his family, his child in the eyes, knowing that he took another young person's life? And it is a very, very difficult place to be in. You know, I listened to him and I helped him process that. It was a very revealing and powerful moment for him. But he's going to have to go home and keep telling that story. Now, he can't tell that to everybody else. He has to find right. people that understand that. That's why, you know, you find people that you're comfortable with. It's great having a brother who's served and uncles who have served. So I have, you know, individuals I can speak to. But he can't go talk to people like that about those issues, but he was able to talk to me and be able to unpack that. He's going to unpack that for the rest of his life. He's going to have to tell the story, own the story, and come to terms with that's not who he is all the time. He's not a killer, but he did that to protect those around him. And it's very painful.
Oh, yeah, that is a powerful story. My guest is Father Matt Foley, former military chaplain. And let me ask you this question, Father. How did your service change you as a Catholic and as a priest?
Well, one of the things that I really enjoyed was that my first chaplain assistant was a Pentecostal. And I'll tell you, you're not supposed to proselytize in the Army, but this his name was Sergeant Stout, and Christopher Stout, and he didn't really abide by that. And I was a new chaplain, and I was trying to tell him, you know, during visits to our troopers in the 82nd back at Fort Bragg. And he's always passing out, you know, information about what church you go to. He's always asking people about their faith. He never, ever, ever stepped away from the opportunity to talk about Jesus. It was great. But I would say, you know, Chris, you can't do that all the time. You're going to get us in trouble. He didn't mind. Well, he was a very good soldier, but he was a better Christian than the soldier. And he ended up actually being killed in Afghanistan in 2010 and doing what he was doing. And gave his life for the country. And I always remember him so well, because he taught me, you know what, there's a lot of rules and regulations out there that they're going to tell you can't talk about Jesus. But Christopher Stout, he didn't hesitate. he wasn't proselytizing. He was inviting people to Jesus Christ. And a lot of my Protestant brothers and sisters, especially my brothers and sisters who were chaplains, they were very much about, you know, planting seeds and bringing people to Christ, not waiting for them to come inside the temple precincts, but spreading the good news and inviting and investigating. So I very much took a page from them in terms of that action.
That's great. And may Christopher rest in peace. That's an incredible story. And I want to ask you kind of a two-part question here, Father. The first part, you may not feel comfortable answering, and if you don't, that's totally fine. I was going to ask you, A, how do you feel about how the United States handled the withdrawal from Afghanistan? And part two is, B, if there are veterans, and there are obviously veterans listening to this program right now, who might have served over there and might be tempted to feel that in light of recent events, maybe all their sacrifices were for naught, what would you say to them right now?
Yeah, so the first part, I spent 2.5 years there. I never felt that we were nation building. I understand we were trying to help local populations win hearts and minds. I understand a lot of the dynamics of trying to, you know, take back battle space. That's going to be natural, but I never thought that we were trying to turn it into the United States of America. We're not starting a democracy over there. We were just trying to keep places safe for people to grow. And one of the beauties for maybe a generation, the most vulnerable, the women and the children, were given an opportunity to grow in freedom. They were able to receive education. Not everywhere was perfect. Not every effort was the best. But we were trying to allow them to grow up in a place where there was freedom, a freedom to worship, a freedom to educate, a freedom to have an opportunity to advance. And the sorrow is how we left. The most vulnerable, the ones that you'll never hear about, the widows, the orphans, the children, the women, they're the ones that are really going to suffer. And that's the sadness in my heart for that, the most vulnerable. Yeah. We'll never hear about that. And so it's very painful. You know, we did a little veterans, a beautiful veteran service here at Mary Seat of Wisdom with the school children, and I gave them a little talk. And it's very, very difficult. I have to say it's painful this Veterans Day for me personally, knowing the souls that died over there. And they didn't die in vain. My brothers and sisters who I buried and pray with there for their families, for their sorrow, they are not here, and they didn't die in vain, but I really feel for the vulnerable that were left behind, and it saddens my heart. We didn't have a huge presence as we were coming down. 2,500 was not a huge presence, and I thought we were doing okay. I just think it was not handled to the best of our ability, and if there are veterans out there, I hope that they're talking to people about it, because it was a difficult time. It's difficult when you know you've lost brothers and sisters in arms, and you wonder if their families are thinking, what was that for? You know, what was it for Sergeant Stout, or was it for, you know, Captain PK, one of my buddies that died over there? It wasn't in vain, but it's still hard to accept at times.
Yeah, that's certainly understandable. My guest is Father Matt Foley, former military chaplain, did 4 tours in Afghanistan. You're listening to our Salute to Service on the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. If you're a veteran, want to hear from you, 888-914-9149 is a toll-free line to call. Can I ask you something else? As a piece of advice, as a civilian, and I've had family members who have served, and sometimes it's very difficult for civilians to talk to veterans about their experiences because, A, we don't really understand. There's no way we could understand what they've been through. And What's the best way that we can acknowledge the contributions of veterans without and help them without pushing them maybe to go places they may not want to go when talking about these things?
You know, that's a wonderful question. I think children usually ask the most difficult questions that parents are thinking, but children will say. So I remember, you know, when people find out that I was, you know, in the Army, and then they find out you're in Afghanistan, especially recently with the Afghanistan being in the news, they would ask you, did you ever kill anybody? You know, little kids will ask you that. And I don't, you know, it's just natural. You know, you're in the Army and that's what you do. You know, and I said, no, I never actually carried a weapon. I never had to worry about that. And they want to know those stories of, you know, the of troops in contact. They want to know about rockets. They want to know about mortars. You have to know that most individuals, at least I feel most comfortable, I can explain it this way. My Uncle Peter and my Uncle Paul were in Vietnam and during the Tet Offensive. And I know I knew them forever, obviously. And I got back from Afghanistan. I was with my Uncle Paul, and he's a retired lieutenant colonel. And as soon as I got in the car, we were going to visit my other uncle. And he said, he started talking about Vietnam, telling stories. Mm-hmm. He never told those stories before. But now that I was a vet and, you know, that I'd been outside the wire, I know that I had seen a few things. He felt comfortable sharing some of those stories. So it's going to be natural that you're going to not have veterans wanting to tell you all those stories. Some yeah. will, but for the most yeah. part, it's really difficult. You want the audience to know what you're going through and what's happening, and you also want to know that they're not going to judge you. So it's finding a comfortable place. So you support them with your prayers. You support them with the thank yous, and we are very, very grateful for what has happened. And the Vietnam vets need all the love, to be honest. The current people, the love that we've received has been tremendous. So it's very humbling to have had the opportunity to serve and to walk with this nation.
Yeah, that is very well said. My guest is Father Matt Foley. You're listening to the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio, or Salute to Service on this Veterans Day. And you've obviously been able to help by your own experiences and by your ministry overseas and at home. Veterans and people that have struggled with what they've seen and what's happened to them and what they've had to do. And one of the other things that you understand very well is how people can be not only affected by experiences in warfare and in military service, but also in the civilian world. You've dealt with a lot of personal pain and heartbreak with your friend, Chris Farley. And a lot of people, when they heard me say Father Matt Foley, and you probably get this a lot, motivational speaker Matt Foley, obviously Chris Farley, the late Saturday Night Live star who lost his battle with addiction in the late 90s, he actually named his iconic character after you. You were friends with him. Tell me a little bit about your relationship, how you met and how that all developed.
Well, Chris and I met on a rugby pitch at Marquette University and became fast friends. And as I was I went to the seminary after that. And I always tell Chris that he was a reason for my vocation. I'm not sure he ever believed that, but he was a very holy man. He was a daily communicant, very big on that. And obviously, once I got ordained, I was his confessor. He was at my first mass. I saw. He named the character. I was at actually on Wall Street on Second City, and he would use somebody else's name, but he used my name that day, never changed the name, brought it to Saturday Night Live. So I was very, very blessed by that. But, you know, every time I saw Chris, and we would go to church every day, and I'd hear his confession, and then I always joke he heard my confession, because we struggled with some of the same temptations and some realities in life. And we were very, very blessed to have that relationship. But Chris battled hard. Against addiction. He always referred to alcohol and some of the addictions as the devil. But he actually fought the good fight. And unfortunately, you know, he didn't win, but he never stopped battling.
Yeah, that's a great thing to mention, that he was in the fight. And a lot of people aren't aware of how religious he was. I heard a great story, maybe you can retell this, about the time you blessed his apartment in New York City and what he was doing as you were walking around with holy water.
Yeah, you know, we always think like movie stars and people make it big, have these big, big places. Chris just had a very kind of simple loft next to a place there he could go to rehab, where he had gone rehab and go to meetings. So he's very working on his sobriety at that time. So you walked in and there was just a futon down below and his bed was up above in just one bedroom. And so it was not an elaborate place. So he was talking with his dad, and his dad gave him the idea, you know, Father Matt's staying over, and he's here. So his dad gave him the idea, well, you should have that apartment blessed. So Chris comes down the stairs, and you know, I'm in my gym shorts, and he's in his gym shorts, and he says, "Hey, you, my dad says you got to bless the apartment." So I said, "Okay." So I go and I get like a bowl. He's not a professional chef, so not a lot of stuff to use. And I found a bowl, and I'm ready to. I turn around, and I got the bowl full of water, and then we're going to walk around. And I always do Hail Marys and Our Fathers and Glory Bees when I bless the house after I do a blessing. And he's got his hands folded like a little angel, and just ready to pray, you know, in his shorts, and just like a little angel, a cherubim. And it was just beautiful to see that. And I said, "Chris, I gotta go put my pants on if we're gonna get serious about this." So, and so I get my pants on. We walked around that little apartment, you know, Glory Bees and Our Fathers and Hail Marys and blessing his apartment. So he was really a very we would call him old time Catholic. He knew all the saints. He knew all the devotions. Wow. He was just really into his faith.
That's amazing. And I'll tell you what, Father Matt Foley, that's a great story, and it has been motivational hearing from you, hearing about your story, your service in Afghanistan. Thank you for your service, and thank you very much for taking time out of your busy schedule to talk to us here on the K.O. Clark Show. God bless you,
God bless you. God bless your wonderful ministry. Thank you.
Thank you. That was Father Matt Foley. Father Matt Foley is now the pastor of St. Gall Parish in Chicago. Let's go to the phones right now. John is on the line from Encinitas, California. Hi, John.
Hey, Cale. Happy Veterans Day.
Are you a veteran, John? Are you?
No. Talk about my dad. I flunked the physical. I had a bone tumor in my leg.
Whoa.
My dad was a P-38 Lightning pilot.
Wow.
Known as one engine gun of a twin fuselage plane stationed in southern Italy. And they made a movie out of it. The guys painted on the side of their planes, "God is my co-pilot." And my dad thought that was presumptuous, so he made it a prayer that I like to start my day with: "God be my co-pilot." My dad did 55 missions over Germany and North Africa, and he was sorry that he flew Roosevelt to Yalta, where he gave away half of Eastern Europe. Anyway, God bless. Thank you.
Hey, John, thanks for mentioning that. Yeah, you see that "God is my co-pilot." You see that even on bumper stickers. I always say, hey, if God's your co-pilot, you better switch seats. Let him take over, because he knows where he's going, and he can be trusted to land your life where it should be. And hopefully that is in, of course, the kingdom of heaven. And so that's what it's all about. And so we've heard today from soldiers who found that to be a path to serving Christ and having a servant's heart. I want to thank my brother-in-law, Joseph Nonato, Lieutenant Colonel in the Canadian Forces, for joining me earlier in the program. Father Matt Foley, who served so admirably for so many years as a military chaplain, now the pastor of St. Gall Parish in Chicago. And I want to thank all of you, all the veterans out there. God bless you. Thank you for your service from the bottom of our hearts. If you know a veteran, please tell them how much you care and tell them how much you appreciate what they have done. And I also want to thank everybody who contributed this week to our pledge drive, to our Join the Family campaign. If you didn't get a chance to do so, you still can. 877-291-0123. We're so grateful for your help and support to keep Relevant Radio on the air. You can, of course, also use the Relevant Radio app or the website. We did make our goal. We made our target, thanks to you. And we're just looking forward to all the incredible things that God is going to do in the future through Relevant Radio with your help. We're together as a family. And once again, that number to call, 877-291-0123. I want to thank also my producer, Jim Shaper. Wow, we all pull extra duty during these pledge drive weeks. I want to thank Patrick Alog, who is working the phones, and all of our spouses as well, and significant others. They have to sacrifice everything as well to make this happen. So thanks to you. Thanks to our veterans. We salute you. It's the K.O. Clark Show on Relevant Radio. Take care and God bless.
Thank you for listening to my daddy.